You can't do everything on your own. How to build a team for real estate investing. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. This is the show where we help you build financial intelligence on your way to financial freedom. Now, we have a great guest on the show today who's done over 300 flip deals in his life. He's the founder of theflipempire.com. He's got a long experience in real estate investing. We have a lot of mutual friends in the business, but the topic we're going to talk about today with Alex Pardo is about building a team. Because when you try to go out and do it on your own, you're not going to be able to do it. You cannot do things in a vacuum, and how important this is to building a successful real estate investing business. Alex, welcome to the show.
Clayton, it's fantastic to be on your show. Thanks for having me on. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. I'm excited to have you and dive into some strategies about building a team. I think this is one of those topics where people kind of, I don't know, sometimes just don't want to hear about it. They're like, oh yeah, build a team. It sounds like a cliche, but we're going to get into why it's so important in a moment. But first, before we get there, take a step back and give us a sense of your history. Tell us about your family. Tell us about where in the country you are and how you got started in real estate investing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. Born and raised in Miami, like we were talking offline, my entire family immigrated from Cuba. My sister and I were one of the few that were born in Miami. And you know, I remember just growing up, my parents always instilled in me phenomenal values, you know, integrity being one of them, doing right by others. But yet, you know, nobody in my family came from an entrepreneurial background. Matter of fact, they worked extremely hard coming from Cuba, having that mindset, you know, hard hat type mentality. And they always, you know, told me to go to school, work hard, get good grades and go get a great job. Something in my DNA, I was kind of hardwired to kind of buck that and go against it. I always knew from early on, Clayton, that they meant well, but it just, that wasn't what I was meant to do. And I remember, you know, being 11, 12 years old, growing up in the baseball park, I would buy essentially, you know, boxes of baseball cards and I'd flip them and I'd trade them. I'd sell them. And so I knew I always wanted to do something for myself. I just didn't know exactly what that looked like. Fast forward about 6, 7, 8 years, I ended up graduating from Florida International University. Around that time, I don't know if it was ego or the prestige, but I always felt like I wanted to become a CEO or a CFO of a Fortune 500 company, and essentially started interviewing with big companies like Johnson & Johnson, and ended up getting hired by General Electric in their financial management program, and did that for 2 years, and ultimately decided to fire my boss and go out, start my own business. So I'll kind of pause there, let you jump in. But
yeah,
early on, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. And then when I got to college, I kind of pivoted. I said, maybe I want to be a corporate executive, but I quickly realized that wasn't for me.
Well, we get this question a lot. I recently had this question from a longtime viewer of our show. When should I quit my job? This person has like 3 or 4 rental properties. You know, he's been working very, very hard and wants to get out of that rat race. I mean, at that time, how did you make that switch? How did you know, like, I've got to make this jump? I mean, in the same way that we heard the stories of, you know, something I did as well. I had a number of rentals and then left my day job in order to pursue financial freedom. Robert Kiyosaki talks about he could have gotten this massive raise, made a lot of money. He just said bye-bye, and he was done.
Yeah.
How do you know when to throw in the towel?
You know, for me, I was very clear. I've always been one, Clayton, to design a vision for your life first, and then let's build a business to support that lifestyle. And I think so many entrepreneurs and investors that want to get into this game, they go at it reverse. They jump into business to make a bunch of money, live the kind of life that they want. And I remember looking, Clayton, to answer your question specifically, I would look at my boss's boss and all the way up the line to the CFO and CEO of GE. And I said, I don't want that life. You know, that God bless them, but that's just not for me. And so for me, I made a decision. I was fortunate that I was single. I didn't have kids at the time. And so I realized your listeners that are hearing this, that have families and they need to put food on the table, it's a lot more difficult and challenging for them. But here's what I'll say. You know, you only get one life. And if you don't make the most of it, if you don't do something that's happy, that's going to fulfill you, then what's the purpose, you know, of just doing it to make a living? I truly believe that God has entrusted us with certain gifts and talents. And if we don't leverage that, if we don't use it and we don't show the world these gifts and talents, I just think it's we're wasting so much potential. We're wasting opportunity to live the kind of lives we want to live and also impact people, which is, you know, I've gotten clear that that's my purpose these days. It's more about impact and contribution.
Right. And we have a mutual friend in our friend Tom Kroll, and it's a story that we talk about a lot. The idea of the seven talents, which, forgive me not knowing my, I think it's biblical history, right? The idea of the three individuals getting these talents from God, right? These one individual gets one talent. The other individual gets a couple of talents. The other individual gets a bunch of talents. The guy that gets one talent buries it in the ground, right? Kind of buries his head in the sand, buries his talent in the ground and doesn't use it and doesn't go out there and take this one life. The other individuals who had multiple talents became even bigger because they took those talents and ran with them. They're like, I'm going to do everything I can with this life right now to be a success. And what does God do? He takes the guy with the one talent. He removes his talent because he buried it and he didn't do anything with it, right?
Uh-huh. That's right. Yeah. And I think it's one of those things that we're meant to win. I truly believe that we are meant to do great things with our lives. And if you're just not happy working a 9-to-5 or whatever it is, you might figure out, you know, I think that should be your people listening. That should be their sole purpose, is to figure out why they're put on this earth. And take a leap of faith, you know, and it's difficult. It's challenging. It's so much easier to just talk about it on a podcast. But I think that's where having coaches, mentors, people that, you know, like-minded individuals that support your dreams, goals, and aspirations, get away from the people that are trying to pull you down. It becomes easier when you have the right environment.
Right. And that environment is what we're going to talk about now in building a team. But before we get there, this idea that, you know, it might be more difficult if you've got two kids and you've got a spouse to support and you are working a 9-to-5, you're exhausted at the end of the day. How do I make that leap? How do I make that transition? Well, guess what? If you want it, there's a weekend. There's nighttime, right? There's nighttime where you can take a class, you can study, you can go out to a meetup group, you can start to network and do things on the side in the same way that I did, in the same way that you did. And the proof is in the pudding. You can take these actions, you can take these steps if you put your mind to it and you start to use the extra hours. Maybe don't sit there and watch Netflix for 3 hours at night. That's 3 hours you could be doing some great work, right?
Clayton, you hit the nail on the head. We are so wasteful with our time, generally speaking, that if I was to do an audit of just where people spend their time, whether it's scrolling through Instagram, on Facebook, or watching, you know, the latest season of House of Cards, that's all time that can be spent on making your life better and doing something that's going to put you in a different position. You have to sacrifice. So many people, they talk a big game and they say they want it, but show me your actions. Show me what's on your calendar. What are you doing to live the kind of life that you want to live? Because it's going to take hard work. You got to work smart and you got to put in that time.
Well, I was even just upset. You know, I have an iPhone, and part of the newest version of iOS is a feature they call screen time, which you can monitor the amount of time you're spending on the screen. And you get a weekly report, so you can go into the settings and you can see how much time you're just wasting. And it'll show you the types of apps that you're using, productivity, social media, games, and it breaks it down by that. And I was just astounded about the amount of just mindless time that I was spending on social media or other things that were just completely wasteful. You know, you're standing in line at Starbucks, and instead of just like being present, you're flipping through something. You're on Facebook, you're on Instagram, you're doing all of that. Or at nighttime on the couch, it's like, I'd be taking a class right now. I could be learning something about real estate investing. I could be reading a book on investing. I could be taking that leap, and instead I'm sitting here watching Netflix and scrolling through Instagram.
We're all guilty. You know, I think we have to take advantage and turn our environment into learning centers, because that's the biggest investment I truly believe you can make it is in yourself. You know, the knowledge and the experience that you acquire is something no one can take away from you, your network. It's not so much the money. It's not the material things. It's what you put in between your ears, you know, your mindset and what you choose to listen to and consume.
Today's episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Oh, hiring is such a pain. You all know it. Many of you have small businesses listening to this show and how difficult it is to find the right candidate. We've used ZipRecruiter for years to find the right candidates who work for our company, and it has been such an amazing transformation. Instead of posting on random job boards, they get you the qualified candidate that you need. It works so great. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience, and then they invite them to apply to your job. So you don't have to go out and hunt around. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so that you never miss a great match. And ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That was my experience. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. All you have to do at this exclusive web address, you have to use this web address. It's ZipRecruiter.com/investing. That's ZipRecruiter.com/investing, I-N-V-E-S-T-I-N-G, ZipRecruiter.com/investing. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Let's talk about team building now. So when did you realize, Alex, that you couldn't do this on your own? And how do you suggest people go about beginning to build a team?
Yeah. For me, Clayton, a big shift was when I read the 4-Hour Workweek. Back in 2009, that's when I first got exposed to the concept of having virtual assistants. The first, you know, I got in this business in 2005. The first 3.5 to 4 years, it was all me. I was a one-man show, and I realized that I had a high-paying job. Business is not a one-man or a one-woman sport. You need to surround yourself with people that I believe are better than you. You know, people that have a purpose, that have abilities. And so, to answer your question, you know, 2009, after reading that book, I immediately hired a virtual assistant. I made so many mistakes in just hiring people, hiring the wrong people, not having an action plan or an onboarding process. We can get into those details if you want. And really, fast forward, 2013 is when my goal was to really now build a business out of the wholesaling operation. As you know, Clayton, wholesaling is a very transactional business. And I was wearing all the hats. I remember at the time I was single and I'd be on a date. And, you know, I just finished sending out some postcards and my phone was going off during dinner. And I felt guilty because I wanted to take the call, but I knew I wasn't going to be present at the same time. And I said, I'm wearing too many hats. You know, I'm the marketing person. I'm the acquisitions person. I'm the disposition person. And I slowly set out to build a relatively small, lean team around me that does a lot of the heavy lifting so that I can focus on my podcast. I can focus on generating, you know, building the network, generating the big ideas, focusing on the things that I think entrepreneurs should be spending their time on, not so much being the technician, as Michael Gerber talks about.
Right. I mean, it's such a powerful point because when you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, they start out like Michael Gerber in the great book, The E-Myth. Everyone should read that book if you haven't already. But he talks about the baker, right? The person who wants to open up their own bakery.
Right.
And they love baking. And they open their own bakery, but then they're wearing all the hats. They're wearing all the chef hats. They're running accounting. They're doing all of those things. And then pretty soon you're miserable because you're not actually in the business constantly and you're not being able to float above and work on the business. And that's so key. So how did you know that it was time to hire that first person? Was it after one of those date nights where you're sitting there answering phone calls from postcards that you'd sent out?
You know, so for me, that was the pain point, and I kind of joke about that, but it's the truth. It's when balls start dropping. I think when you're juggling so many things and you're just not able to efficiently go through your task and do the revenue generating activities, you know, I think when you find yourself going out and putting out bandit signs on your own and you realize that you just wasted 2 hours of your time where you could have outsourced that, hired somebody for a buck or two a sign, gotten that off your plate so that you can focus on more revenue generating activities. When balls start to drop and you just can't juggle everything, starting to go crazy, that's when I think you need to start looking for the hiring people. So the first hire for me was a virtual assistant. If I could rewind the clock, knowing what I would know now, or knowing what I know now, I should say, is hiring a personal assistant. I would hire someone local that can take a lot of the personal and business related tasks that don't necessarily generate revenue, but still have to get done. Like, for example, or picking up dry cleaning, or cleaning my car, things like that. I think it's extremely important for people listening to figure out what your time is worth. You know, is it worth $100 an hour? Is it worth $1,000 an hour? Whatever you can outsource for cheaper than what your time is worth is what you should do. And for me, I would definitely recommend hiring a personal assistant.
Right. It's such a great point. And I heard a story one time with an individual saying, you know, would you pay $300 per hour? You know, how much are you worth, right? You might ask this question. So if you're sitting there watching this right now, play this little game at home. How much do you think your time is worth? Is it worth $100 an hour? Is it $300 an hour? What's your highest and best use of your time? I can tell you, doing this podcast right now with you as a broadcaster, as an educator in real estate, this is my highest and best use. If I'm knee deep in spreadsheets and other things, that's not my highest and best use. So what is your time worth? Is it worth $200 an hour? Is it worth $300 an hour? $500 an hour? Can you be wholesaling, making $1,000 a day? And that's your best use of your time. So what is your worth? And then ask yourself, if you're doing this other crap, you're doing accounting, you're doing bookkeeping, you're doing things that are in your drudgery zone where you're not good at it. And it's, you know, and you ask yourself, well, it's $300 an hour. Well, would you hire a mediocre accountant and pay that accountant $300 an hour? Well, of course you wouldn't. I would never hire a mediocre accountant for $300 an hour. Well, guess what? You already are. Because if you're a mediocre accountant and you're worth $300 an hour, you're already wasting that money on a bad accountant. So hire the right kind of person, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, success leaves clues. I forgot who, I don't know if it was a book I read, but look at the most successful entrepreneurs in regardless of the space, not just real estate. I can't think of anybody that has gone at it alone. You know, you got to build the right team around you. And that's a whole separate conversation that I'm sure we'll get into. But realize that there's only 24 hours in a day. And I think one of the factors that separates those that are high achievers and highly successful versus those that don't is just surrounding yourself with the right people, getting crystal clear on what their highest and best use is, and operating in what, you know, Dan Sullivan talks about, your genius zone. We all have to figure out our unique abilities, our genius zone, and operate in that lane, and then hire others that operate within their genius zone.
So yeah, let's dive into that a little bit more. So people taking notes at home who want to begin to hire the right people, who want to take a step back from the things that are just causing them drudgery, as Michael Hyatt calls it, you know, the drudgery zone. And we can talk about Dan Sullivan in the genius zone. So how do you begin to hire that first person? Where, you know, do you put all of this down on paper and kind of write down all of the tasks that you're currently doing and kind of break it apart?
Yeah, so that's actually step one, and it's very simple. If you just, you know, I forgot who told me to do this exercise many, many years ago, but every 15 minutes, I just documented what I spent my time on. I did that for an entire week. And when you go through that exercise and you look back at just the time that you spend on just meaningless crap, things that just don't move the needle in your business or your life, start to say, okay, there's kind of like a Venn diagram, and you say, okay, what are the revenue generating activities, and what are the things that give me energy? What are the things that take away energy? You want to be focused on ideally the difference between the things that move the needle, i.e. generate revenue, and the things that give you passion, the things that give you energy, like being on this podcast with you. This inspires me. This gives me energy. I love connecting with high level people. And so figure out what that is. So the things that don't generate revenue and or take away energy from you, you know, get that away. Like, you need to find somebody that's what they love doing. And that's the key. When I first started Clayton, for me, it was out of sight, out of mind. I just wanted to get it off my plate. And I learned the hard way that you need to find people that's what they love doing. You know, so when I first got started, I would live handwrite letters and stuff the envelopes, you know, put a stamp on them. And I just got burned out doing that. And then I found a stay-at-home mom that she loved doing that while she was watching TV. You know, like she enjoyed making a couple of extra bucks while doing that, while, you know. And so think about the things that you do, document it, and then start to create a checklist. Okay, these are the things I enjoy doing. These are the things that are going to move the needle in my business or are going to free me up in my personal life. So for me, you know, I'd rather hire a long guy so that I can spend that hour with my girls and my family and doing the things I enjoy doing. That would be step one, is just document for an entire week what you spend your time on every 15 minutes. And from there, I think it's going to become abundantly clear to people listening what they can potentially start getting off their plate and onto somebody else's.
That's powerful stuff. I hope everyone was paying attention. So the things that sap your energy, because it really trickles in every other thing you're doing. If you're doing things that sap your energy, it's going to just, you know, bring you down. So try to remove those things and put those on the plate of somebody else. We all have different personality types. I hate spreadsheets, but our bookkeeper loves it, right? So why would I be involved in spreadsheets and accounting? Absolutely is painful to me. I hated math growing up. So that's painful to me. So remove those things and it frees you up to do other things. So that's step one, really make that list. And it's funny, man, you're absolutely right. Once you start down this path and you're starting in real estate investing, you're wholesaling, you're flipping, it doesn't matter what it is. And you write down a list of everything you're doing, as mundane as they are, right? You're in the shower and you're thinking about a deal. Write that down, because that was time while you were in the shower that you were thinking about 123 Main Street and what kind of an offer you're going to apply on that property. Putting stamps on envelopes, handwriting posted, you know, postcards to send to motivated sellers. I don't care what it is. Write it all down. And then is step two, are you able to break those into categories so that you can, because they're gonna have like natural categories, right? Like water flows over rocks a certain way.
100%. Before I get to that, I want to piggyback on something you said, which I think is critical and I failed to mention. There's so much, we have to start placing more value on our mental equity. You talked about being in the shower and thinking about 123 Main Street. As entrepreneurs, we're visionaries, we're creators. When we're creating and not, and spending more time creating versus consuming, I think that's what the world needs more of. And when our thoughts are bogged down with the minute details that somebody else can be responsible for, I think it frees us up to be more creative and to you know, be create things as opposed to just be consumers. So that's one thing I want to add.
No, but I love that point, because I was at an Apple event a few years ago and Steve Jobs introducing the iPad, and I'm there in the audience watching Steve walk around on the stage in his sneakers, his white sneakers, his famous what did he wear? Yeah. The N sneakers.
New Balance.
Yeah.
New Balance.
They were covered in grass stains. Because he just would take long walks. He didn't care what you thought of his sneakers. Like, those are little details that he's not worried about, because he would take these long walks and get grass all over these sneakers and just think big ideas. And if that's where Steve's genius was in being able to come up with grand ideas, do you think that he was, I mean, he certainly was bogged down in the details on design, but he didn't care about the grass stains on his shoes and what you thought of it when he's standing on stage introducing the iPad. So you're absolutely right. Those mundane details that suck our energy and take us away from our genius, that's really, really powerful. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, go get on to step two.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this answer is going to vary depending on the business that you're in, right? So if you're a wholesaler, you know, going back to Michael Gerber, who we alluded to earlier, you look at that org chart, or if you've read the book Traction by Gino Wickman, highly, highly recommend that book. To me, it's like the Bible for business. And it takes it a little bit further, in my opinion. He talks about the accountability chart. Initially, when it's just you, your name is going to be in all these boxes. But once you start, you take an audit of everything that you do, you can start figuring out what departments, you know, most businesses have marketing and sales, they have finance, they have admin, et cetera. They have the operations department. Start figuring out the things that you want to get off your plate. Your job should be, how can I take my name out of that box and put somebody else's name in it? So you can initially stop and say, okay, well, these are the personal things that I do, like pick up dry cleaning, wash my car, go do groceries. And now with apps like Instacart and things like that, like leverage those tools. I mean, we live in a day and age where it just blows my mind, Clayton, on a daily basis, that we are literally clicks away from having things at our fingertips.
Right.
And that could be a good thing or a bad thing, right? That's a whole separate conversation. But start to leverage tools and leverage, figure out where you can remove some of the personal things, because it's not just about business, but those things that we do in our personal lives, that takes time, but it doesn't have to be your time. That's where, you know, you spending a little bit of money can free you up to do some of the creative work that we've talked about. So I would highly recommend, regardless of the business you're in, get a personal assistant. That person can help you offload some of the things that I'm discussing as far as the personal side goes. And they can also help you with in the business, you know, whether it's picking up the phones, picking up the mail, just some of the things that, again, have to be done, but don't necessarily have to be done by you. And then for me, since I'm, you know, I wanted to build an operation and I wanted to do a lot of wholesale deals, After an assistant, after a VA, I hired an acquisitions person. Because Clayton, one of those things that zapped my energy was actually going and meeting with sellers. I just didn't enjoy that anymore. I had done it hundreds of times, and it started to kind of weigh on me some of the challenges that a lot of these sellers were having. And I just didn't enjoy it anymore. I knew I wanted to help these people. I knew we had a solution for them, but I just wanted to remove myself from that part of the business. So I hired an acquisitions person, and immediately that year, we quadrupled the volume that we had ever done. We did somewhere upwards of 70-something deals that year. I think this was 2013 when I first onboarded an acquisition person. And it's been a game changer. So,
And that's powerful also, because I was going to wrap up our discussion today with that question, and you kind of already answered it. But when someone's sitting there watching this saying, well, I can't afford that. It's easy for Alex to do that. He's making money. It's easy for Clayton to do that. He's making money. But that's always the thing that holds people back, is I can't hire a personal assistant. I can't hire an acquisitions manager because it's going to cost me money. What would you say to those people?
The immediate thing that comes to mind, Clayton, is you can't afford not to do it, right? It's a mindset shift. It really is. If you want to grow, even if you don't have aspirations to scale a huge operation, but if you just want to get your time back, like I personally know some investors, Clayton, that spend 5-10 hours a week in their business. It's them, an assistant, and an acquisitions person. And they just focus on one aspect of the business, but they only spend 5-10 hours, and they can do that time. They can spend that time traveling or speaking, or, you know, you cannot afford to have that mindset where, you know, it's going to cost me 30 or 40 or 50,000. And so I'd rather keep that money. That kind of mentality is going to hold people back, and you're not going to be able to achieve your full potential, operate in your genius zone, thinking that way. I mean, that's just the bottom line.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I think by spending that 50, if that makes you 300,000, that's money well spent. Absolutely. Well, Alex, it's been great talking with you today. How can people learn more about everything you have to offer? And if they would like to study under you, work with you, or dive a little deeper into some of these topics.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Clay. Appreciate that. FlipEmpire.com. I host a podcast called The Flip Empire Show. We do 2 shows a week, and, you know, upwards of 300 episodes now that have been published. And I love it. That's one of those things that gives me energy. Again, now my life is more about impact and contribution and fulfillment. And that's one of those platforms and channels that allows me to give back and help others. So plugging into the podcast, The Flip Empire Show, would be awesome.
Awesome. Awesome. And I think I'm going to be a guest on the show as well. So we'll be able to talk about stuff over there. So that's what I love. Absolutely. Being an educator and helping people. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. Alex, it's been a great treat having you here on the show. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Really appreciate the opportunity. And I hope that something I've mentioned resonates with people out there, and they go take action. You know, speed of implementation, I think, is one of those other factors that separate the doers from the wanters, right? So hopefully something I've said has planted a seed with somebody out there. They can go build the business, build the life that they dream of.
Absolutely, absolutely. Take one, even if just one small thing away from today's episode, I hope it makes you take action. Alex, thank you so much. And thanks to all of you at home for downloading and subscribing and sharing this with someone you love who you know wants to achieve financial intelligence and financial freedom in their life. Remember, this is the stuff we were not taught in school. So you'll get that all right here on the show. Until next time, everyone, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. You have to take that first step. We'll see you next time.